in the book of Daniel. The Lord, I've never preached through the book of Daniel. I'm sure I've preached in it over 56 years, but I've never preached through the book. I don't know exactly how we'll end up, but to begin with, as I just have read through the book, only 12 chapters, I hope that you'll take time to start reading through it. And don't read through it once, just read through it, every couple of days. You can read through it in 2 days easily, just 6 chapters a day. And just read it maybe once a week now for a while. Let God speak to your heart. There's a lot of prophecy in there, a lot of images and things like that that if the Lord will help us, we want to explain. And we'll go into some detail about that. But I want us to get the truth of the book and things that will apply to us in 2024 on faithfulness. Last Sunday, I emphasized your faithfulness to the house of God. And I emphasized 3 characteristics about Daniel that would help us with our faithfulness to the house of God and in our service of the Lord in the month. Number one, the Bible said in the beginning, when they had taken Daniel captive, the Babylonians have come now and they've taken the southern kingdom into captivity. A few years prior to that, the northern kingdom, the 10 tribes of the north, were taken into captivity by the Assyrians. And the way they normally did is they would take the most intelligent and the healthiest back into their kingdom, back into the kingdom of Assyria, back into the kingdom of Babylon. And there they would train them in the ways of their land, their custom of the land, and hope that they would come an asset to their country in that way. Daniel was part of that crowd with the 3 boys that we call Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. If you look in chapter 1, you'll find that he took those, not just the people in general, but particularly the king's seed and the princes. So it's very likely that Daniel was of some type of royal descent. And he was there in Israel, and he had all types of perks for being that. I mean, he was somebody there. And he was taken as prisoner, but they saw in him something special, and they put him in that number to be in the palace or be under the tutelage of the king's servants to teach them and their customs and their ways, that they would use what they have, their gifts and ability, to be a blessing to their country. Daniel was one of those. And in chapter 1, they wanted to get them ready. And so they gave them to the charge of servants who were to feed them specialized meals from the king's table. I mean, the king's fare. They gave them the best cuts of meat. Everything was great. And wanted to feed them for 3 years and then bring them back before the king. And when they came to do that, Daniel wouldn't do that. He purposed in his heart not to defile himself with the king's meat. And he asked the servant, if you would, please just give us 10 days. And at 10 days, check us out and see what we look like. Well, at the end of the 10 days, it said they were 10 times better than the other slaves that they had taken, because they had eaten that diet of just water and vegetables. That might be good for me and you. But at any rate, here God's blessing him. And so the first thing I pointed out to you was purpose of heart, not in your head. If you do things in your head, it just comes and goes. But it's got to be a heartfelt commitment to be faithful to the house of God. I'm going to be faithful to the house of God, regardless of what happened. And then we saw this, that in another passage of scripture, it makes this statement about Daniel. He was faithful, faithful. And that does mean fulfilling all your responsibilities and living a lifestyle consistent with what you say, but it also means being full of faith. And then the last statement was in chapter 6 and verse 23 that I want to reemphasize today. And it says this, that he was delivered from the den of lions because he trusted in his God. And I want to challenge you today to trust in God more in 24. Trust in God. Be aware of what's going on. Don't panic. Don't get, all stressed out about everything. Know that God's in control. Now, as I begin to, this verse just caught my heart the very first time I read it a few months back again. And of course, I've seen it before. But what happens is that when Daniel's and his friends are much better. They continue to do, and he's blessed. He'll stay through the reign of Nebuchadnezzar and on into his son Belshazzar and even up to Cyrus. And he'll be in prominence. Sometimes he's up, sometimes he's down, so far as they're concerned. But what happens in chapter 2 is that Nebuchadnezzar has a dream, and he calls in all of his astrologers and all of his wise men and want to ask them the interpretation of the dream. The only catch is this: he doesn't remember the dream. He just knows that it troubled him. And so they couldn't do it. And so he says he's going to kill every one of them. He's going to kill them all. Well, somebody said, well, let's get Daniel. Daniel seems to have, you know, more intelligence than the rest of them. So they got Daniel. And so in chapter 2, Daniel comes to the king and they tell him what he wants. And he said, if you'll give me just a short time, I'll interpret your dream. And so having said that, then Daniel, the Bible says in chapter 2, that he went to the house where his friends were at, and in verse 14, that they would desire mercies of God, the God of heaven, concerning this secret, that Daniel and his fellows should not perish with the rest of the wise men of Babylon. So they pray and ask God to give mercy, and God does. God shows him the dream, and he rejoices over that, and then he becomes before the king. And he tells the king that he knows the dream. I want to begin reading with just a little bit of this last statement. And notice what it says in chapter number 2 and verse 26. And the king answered and said unto Daniel, whose name was Belshazzar, art thou able to make known unto me the dream which I have dreamed and the interpretation thereof? And Daniel answered in the presence of the king and said, the secret which the king hath demanded cannot the wise men, astrologers, or magicians, or soothsayers show unto the king. Look at verse 28, and here's my thought for today. But there is a God in heaven that revealeth secrets and maketh known to King Nebuchadnezzar what shall be in the latter days. Thy dream and thy vision of thy head upon the bed are these. And I'll deal with that in detail about the vision he saw. But here's a little thought I want you to look at. There is a God in heaven, but there is a God in heaven. Would you bow with me for prayer? Father, I want to thank you that God, there is a God in heaven. Our Father, there are things that are going to happen in our lives that you said would happen. You said in this world we would have tribulation. We would have problems. We would have difficulties. Job said man's days are few and full of trouble. But God, you've made a promise you would never leave us or forsake us. And our Father, we'll face situations, but there is a God in heaven. Our wisdom, our strength, our power won't be able to be enough. But there is a God in heaven. And I pray, God, that this year that you'd give us more confidence, more belief, more trust in our God, that there is a God in heaven. Help us, our Father, not to rely on the flesh, on wisdom, but on God. There is a God in heaven. And God, help me now. Give me your anointing and power. Thank you for the great singing of the choir, the congregation, Brother Roland Solo. And Lord, I thank you for that. Now speak to our heart in Jesus' name. Amen. As I read that passage of scripture over and over again for the last several days and thought of it, but there is a God in heaven. I'm reminded quite often, Brother Barry and Mitchell as well in their Sunday school class remind us that whenever you see that word but, you need to stop and think about that for a few minutes. Things of business is fixing to pick up. And I got to thinking, but there is a God in heaven. And the phrase in the Bible quite often is, but God. The Bible talks about us and so many things. I wrote several of them down that I won't be able to deal with. But in Luke chapter 16 and verse 15, it tells about he's testifying about the Lord and what he knows. And these hypocrites, he's rebuking them because of their out religion. But he makes this statement in Luke 16 and verse 15, but God knoweth thy heart. God knows your heart. But God, you think you've hid it from mom and daddy, from the preacher, from everybody else, and you act one way, you look one way, you're faithful here, you're faithful there, you sing good, you do all these things, but God knows your heart. God knows what's in your heart. He looks on everybody's heart, but God knows your heart. And then there's some other verses that are classics. Paul giving illustrations about Joseph in the book of Acts. He talks about the fact that Joseph was taken by his brethren and all that he did to them. And he talks about his enemies. But he said this, but God was with Joseph. Boy, that makes all the difference in the world. Your family can be against you. Your brothers can be against you. The world could be against you. Everybody could forsake you. But God. Paul said at my last hearing, no man stood with me, but God. And I'm glad that God doesn't ever leave us. And thank God for that. He's always there. Thank God for that phrase, but God. But there is a God in heaven. One of my favorite verses is, I quote it all the time here in the church, is in Romans chapter 5. Scarcely for a righteous man would one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. Verse 8, but God commended his love toward us, and while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. But God, we were on our way to hell, but God interceded on our behalf. But God came to where we are. And so I thought what I'd do is I'd bring a little message this morning on that connecting little phrase. There is a God in heaven. And look at the but gods in the Bible. Guess what? 45 of them. 45 times that God butted in on men and brought blessing and healing. And I don't have time to deal with all of those. But I want to think this morning about what Daniel said, but there is a God in heaven. Last night, I come over late at night to pray, and God had already put a little truth in my heart, and I rolled it around all the way over here. And I began to sing songs in my car, and I really, really, really sing good in my car. And I was singing about blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Oh, listen, but God. Can I say something to you? Many of you are tired of trying to be right with God. You're tired of trying to get victory over something. You can't do it. You fail time after time again, and you come to a place where there's a sense of frustration. I don't know why people do what they do, but sadly, in the last few weeks, we've heard of several and some young men who have taken their own life. What caused them to do that? They must come to a point when they think there's no hope, but there is a God in heaven. There is a God in heaven. You can come to the end of your rope, but you've tried so hard to be saved, tried so hard to be right with God. You've tried this and you failed over and over again, and you backslide and you try again and you couldn't do it. You couldn't have any victory, but you can't do that. All of our righteousness is filthy rags. I mean, as good as we can do is still a filthy rag in the sight of God. But there is a God in heaven. Scarcely for a righteous man would one die, yet peradventure for a good man, some would even dare to die. But God commended his love toward us, and while we were yet sinners. There is a God in heaven. There's a God in heaven. And he sent his son to die for your sin. You can't save yourself. You can't change yourself. You can't live the life. But there's a God in heaven that loved you before the foundation of the world and gave his son that you might have life. For those of you who are in the internet and here, you've been trying and you really, really want to be right. You really, really want to go to heaven. It's been nothing but one disaster, one frustration after another. Can I say to you, but there is a God in heaven. And he says this about him in the Bible. He's able to save to the uttermost all that come unto him. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. There is a God in heaven. Regardless of how lost you feel, how awfully you failed, my dear friend, there is a God in heaven who's able to save you and to give you everlasting life. And if you'll but trust him, he could do that. My dear friends, try. You may be tired of trying, but there is a God in heaven. You and I who are saved by the grace of God, our task is great, but there is a God in heaven. I've often thought about when the Lord was resurrected and the disciples were so excited and he told them, I'm fixing to leave you and go back to the Father. I'll send the Holy Ghost of God. He'll be your comforter. And then when he meets with them for that very last time, he says this to them. Now you're talking about the 11 disciples at that time. He said, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Wow. The task is great. 11 men without a cell phone. 11 men without internet, 11 men without a printing press, 11 men without modern means of transportation to go into all the world. I mean, I go back home sometime, and we lived outside of Rock Rapids and had a little house, and we lived on a dirt road, a lot of dirt roads all out through there. But up at the end of our road was Mr. Hansley's old store, kind of like Jack Langdon's old store. You get your Coca-Cola and peanuts and all there. The old men sat around a pot-belly stove. Huh? But I remember as a boy, that was a long walk down that dirt road. All the way I walked, all the way. I remember first time I told Mama, I walked all the way to the store. And then when I got grown and got to going back home, man, listen, it's like from here to Jack Langdon's store. It's a little further than that, down my road, to our old store. But it seemed like it was so very far. But if you were living in that day and he said, I want you to go into all the whole world and carry the gospel, what an awesome task. But there is a God in heaven. Our task is great. So many people everywhere. And how are we going to reach the masses? So many different cultures, so many different religions. People are so distracted. We have the God of materialism in America like never before, the God of immorality, and sexual perversion, and everything else is rampant in the nation. The task is great, but there is a God in heaven. And without Him, we can do nothing, but with Him, God, with God, all things are possible. And He told His disciples, go into all the world, preach the gospel, and lo, I'm with you always. But God is with us. We can do what God wants us to do. We can reach the people God wants us to reach if we'll give ourselves. But there is a God in heaven who will enable us, who will equip us, who will show us what to do. We need a building up here on the hill. I believe that in my heart. You'd believe that. Many of you have been praying. And we right now we get the preliminary drawings up to show the floor plan. And so for your approval, and you look at that and you think, well, how can we do that? Well, when we were across the road over there, and before I ever came, this piece of land, number one, this land would never be sold. And they prayed and God provided so they could buy it. And then when they made that decision to purchase it, others said in the community, you'll never pay for the land. Well, all of this process took a year for me to get here. But by the time I got here, y'all had already paid for the land. But there's a God in heaven. It's not us. There's a God in heaven. And when we started having the dirt moved on here to build this 24,000 square foot building, people said, you won't ever get it built. You can't ever pay for it. Just that little crowd of people over there. And I always agreed with them. I said, you're exactly right. But there is a God in heaven. And can I tell you that before we ever borrowed any money at all on this building, $440,000 had come in and we had it framed. And when they went to the bank, our trustees went to the bank. They said, sure, you can have how much money you need. You already got that much in the building. And in 7 years, everything in here was paid for. Sound system, $54,000. I forget how much all these pews and everything, the paving in the parking lot, everything in 7 years paid for. How? There's a God in heaven. He's able. And He hadn't changed. He's still there. God's still there. You think it makes any difference between God if it's a million or 3 million or 4 million? He owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. Everything is the Lord's. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. All the jewels, all the diamond, all the silver. All we need to do is be in the middle of God's will, and wherever God guides, He always provides. He pays the bills. There's a God in heaven. My dear friend, when it comes to the task of evangelism, there is a God in heaven that's able to do exceedingly abundantly. We can reach all we're supposed to reach. We can do all God wants us to do through the ministry of the Highway Shepherd, electronic ministry, E-Team, all those other things. I don't know, I'm not endorsing anything, but I had Jim to check for me. Some of you have been seeing the little ad on television, heaven or not. Are you going to heaven or not? And I thought it may be some cult, some ism, I'm not sure. But I've looked at their statement. The state is very Baptistic. They believe in the virgin birth of Christ, the inspiration of the scriptures, all those things. I'm not going into detail, but what does astound me is the guy who got that burden a high-tech company. And God burdened his heart. Maybe God's allowed all this technology to reach the world. And in a matter of years, they had reached 1 billion people, now over 2 billion, and millions of professions of faith worldwide through that. You think about that. The task is great, but there's a God in heaven, and we're going to trust Him. I've got to hurry on. I've got 7. That's only 2 things. You tried, and you're tired of trying, but there's a God in heaven. The task is great, but there's a God in heaven. Trials will come, but there is a God in heaven. Good men and women will die this year that we didn't expect to die. They'll suffer with cancer, die in car wrecks, massive heart attacks. There'll be sickness, sorrow. Some who are now strong and healthy will be bedridden for the rest of their life. Trials will come. Don't be surprised. But he said, think it not strange that those trials come. The trying of your faith, he said, will bring forth gold one of these days. The trials will come. Great difficulties will come. You can depend on it. You're going to have trouble. You're going to have sickness. But there is a God in heaven. There is a God in heaven who knows how much you can bear. Somebody said, God won't put more on you than you can bear. Oh, yes, He will. I promise you, He will. I promise you that before this year's out, something will happen in your life that you cannot handle. You can't stand the pain any longer. You can't deal with your children anymore. God, that's going to come. Trials are going to come, but there is a God in heaven. You say, Brother Billy, I've heard all my life that God won't put more on you than you can bear. That's wrong. But He'll never put more on you than He can bear. And He said, cast all your burdens on Me, all your cares on Me. He's able to take us. Come unto Me, all you that are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. God won't ever put more on you than He can bear. And you can go through anything with the Lord. There is a God in heaven. I don't know what you're facing today in the internet, in this building. You think you've come to the end of your rope. You say, I can't. That's exactly right. I can do nothing without Him. You can't do anything without Him. Without Me, you can do nothing. But He'll not put more on you than He will help you. Paul said He's the God of all comfort. And then he says, he goes on, that with the trials that came our way, God comforted us, that we might comfort others with the same comfort that He gave to us. God will carry you through your trial so you can say it's not you, it's God. There's a God in heaven. I want you, in every trial that comes your way, put this little phrase at the end of it, but there is a God in heaven. When your transmission falls out in the middle of 40 and rush hour, remember this, but there is a God in heaven. Listen, when you sickness comes and all those times come, remember this, but there is a God in heaven. And that God in heaven is all powerful. And that God in heaven loves you enough to give His own Son. And if He gave His own Son for you, that freely by Him, He'll give you all things. But there's a God in heaven. Trials will come, but there is a God in heaven. Tragedy will come. You might put that under the same category, but I'd put it differently because things happen. Bad things do happen to good people. Unexplainable things. Brother Avery Rogers used to talk about the sovereignty of God and plan of God. He knew that all things worked together for good of God, them that loved Him. But he, in traveling across the country and preaching in camp meetings and revival, met a young man named Curtis McCarley from up in the mountains of North Carolina. He was a young man in his late 20s. He said, I've never met a young man with the anointing of God like he had. I mean, he said he had a grasp of the Scriptures when he preached. It was the power of God. People who'd been in church all their life broke under conviction. People got right with God. In that little mountain church where Curtis McCarley pastored, they were putting gravel. He had 3 beautiful little girls, Brother Avery said, and he'd been in the church with him and been in meetings with him when his whole family was there. And he said, those little girls sit there and just watch their daddy preach. They were putting some gravel at that church, and somehow or another, some of the gravel stayed when the dump body dumped to the dump truck. And he reached up there with a rake to get it. Somehow or another, I don't know what happened, but something about the mechanism of the door, it swung and hit him, killed him instantly. And when Brother Avery would talk about the sovereignty of God and God loves us and all those things, sometimes, most of the time that would come up and he'd say this, I do not understand that. There are going to be things that happen that there's no explanation for, and you may not ever in this life know why. But there is a God in heaven. He knows. He has a plan. Can I say this in the last time? And it's appropriate because my time is gone as well. Time is running out, but there is a God in heaven. This thing's coming to an end. I have a sense of sadness about America. He said that he'll turn every nation that forgets God into hell. We're heading that away. The America that you've known for years, you'll never know again. One of these days, this nation will be gone. We have a relatively short-lived democracy, but things are going to change. It's going to all change one of these days. For instance, it says in the book of Revelation and in other places that all nations will come against Israel. All means all. That means there's coming a time when America would no longer support Israel. It may be after the rapture when we are gone, but this time is running out. Time is running out for this nation. It's running out for us and our ministers, running out for us in our life. I was talking to Brother Barry the other day about how fast, here we are, the 14th of January, seemed like it was just yesterday that we were finishing up Christmas. Here we 2 weeks already gone in this year. Things are going so fast. The Highway Shepherd 30th anniversary coming up on the 10th of February, and it seemed like a few months ago it was a year away, but here it is right here at us. Brother Barry was talking about his daddy, and he told his daddy after he got a little age on him, Barry did, and he was married and everything. He said, "Daddy, I've heard you talking about time flying." He said, "But man, it's really flying now." He said, "Son, you don't know anything yet." He said, "You wait till you get as old as I am." He said, "Christmas comes every 2 weeks when you're my age." That's exactly right. Time is running out. But we've got time to do what God wants to do. God's allotted us a time here. There is a God in heaven. You think God knows how long you're going to live? You think God knows how long my ministry is going to last, or your life of ministry last? He does. Time is running out for us to do what we ought to do for God. But there is a God in heaven that knows us, knows all about us, and He will use us until it's time for us to be taken home or whatever God's plan is for us. Time is running out, but there's a God in heaven. And for those of you who are lost, I'd say to you, time is running out. He said in the days of Noah, my spirit would not always strive with man in that he is flesh. And there was a cutoff date when God said, that's it. He opened the windows of heaven, opened the fountains of the deep, and stored everything in whose nostrils the breath of life. Time's running out. But you have time now. Today is the day of salvation. Today's the accepted time. You can trust Him today. There is a God in heaven who loves you and will save you right now, make you a brand new creature. For those of you who are Christian, carrying around bitterness, jealousy, hatred, lust in your heart, there's time for you to repent, because there's a God in heaven. And He said, if you'll repent, if you'll turn, I'll restore to you the years the locusts have eaten. You've wasted some of your life. You've wasted time. You've wasted your gifts. But God said, I will restore that, the years the locusts have eaten, if you'll get right with me and confess your sin. Time is running out. Won't be long before we meet the Lord and we have to face Him at the judgment seat. But there is a God in heaven that will do right. Men are waxing worse and worse. They think they're getting by. They think nobody can stop them. Nobody will ever judge them. But there is a God in heaven. And every knee will bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. There is a God in heaven. Will you bow with me for prayer this morning? That last statement I said to you last week, they said the reason God delivered him out of that den of lions, because he trusted in his God. I'm praying that this year we'll trust him more. And trusting him more doesn't mean we're going to get everything we want. Doesn't mean that we're going to be, we'll avoid sickness or heartache or trials. It just means that we'll get more and more like Job. Though he slay me, yet will I trust him. There's a God in heaven. Things will be made right. Things will be made right because there is a God in heaven. Sinners will be judged because there is a God in heaven. The saints will be rewarded because there is a God in heaven. He'll save you because there is a God in heaven. He'll help you as a believer because there is a God in heaven, and that God is our God. Heavenly Father, I pray, God, the Holy Ghost would move among your people this morning and on this church. God, I pray that you'd build in me and in all of this church in 2024 more faith and trust in you to know that there is a God in heaven. There's no obstacles we cannot face, no tragedies we cannot endure, no need that will not be provided, because there is a God in heaven. God, you'll give us the wisdom we need, the power we need, the finances we need, because there's a God in heaven, individually and corporately in this church. But God, help us that every affair of our life and everything that happens, that God, we will be reminded by the Holy Ghost, but there is a God in heaven. You're the God that loved us so much you gave your Son for us. You're the God that loved us so much you sent the Holy Ghost of God to live inside of us. You're the God that loved us so much you gave us a Bible to read and to be blessed by. You're the one, Lord, the God in heaven is the one that added us to a church family and gave us loving and prayer partners and, Lord, dear saints of God, to be there for us. There's a God in heaven. And God, I thank you for that. God, I pray now you'd speak to your people. Help them. My Father, there's something they need to do before they leave this building. I pray they do it now, and we'll praise you.